It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than having hair that is not fair. You can join the chat room, the den pen, as you will. Go to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. Also, please feel free to watch us live on the Davin's Den Facebook page. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe Curry. We'll be here shortly. I'm trying to figure out where the heck I put my glasses, and I can't right now. So this could be this could be a very squinty episode.
One of the worst things to do is have to look for your glasses without your glasses on.
Yes, that is very true. But I put them away. I surmise they'll be in this room somewhere. But my eyes are tired. All right. On the show, a politician follows porn stars on social media. Like, that's the worst thing in the world. Turbulent air and a flight ruined by farting, drooling, and whining. And Pip tells us why she did all those things. hair length or racism gets a college player kicked off his baseball team and scamming scammers with Elon Musk and Kimberly Gray. Pip, what is going on? I'm going to try to find my glasses in my room, but I'm here. I am listening. You said there were some interesting goings-ons.
Well, you know what? We are in the preliminary stages of deciding when and what cat or cats we will take in. Because
this is what passes for interesting goings-on. Which cats will come to live with the Heli?
Yeah, absolutely, because we are, for people who had too many cats, now we are at zero cat population.
It's like you're empty litterers. That's what you are. You're empty litterers.
We are empty litterers. And it's sad, and we're not happy with that.
So I get it.
We are in the preliminary stages of just, like, agreeing that we need to get cats. But they have to be, not just any old cats will do. It's like we sort of have, you know, You have to meet the cats and know, like, oh, there's a little spark. There's a little, like...
Well, the cat will pick you. Now, I do know of a cat that has been known to hang out off the Garden State Parkway in Hazlitt, New Jersey.
I know. And I've heard about that cat, but I don't know that that cat is a friendly cat. And,
well, I mean, if it tolerates Joe, I would say it is a friendly cat.
We already have a cat that is an outdoor cat that we've been feeding for a while that I wish was friendly enough that he would decide to come in, but he's wild.
Yes, we discussed this, and I've told you no.
Yes, so it doesn't seem like he is interested in the idea, so we're not going to force it.
Why don't you just go to the shelter?
Well, I mean, you know, we just talked about it for the first time and came to the conclusion that we should get cats.
I did not even know that that was up for conversation. You love cats. Your husband loves cats. You know, you probably each have another 5, 6, 7 years left in you. That's a good enough time for a cat. So, I mean, I just assumed new cats would be in the offing.
Well, yeah, but you don't just like, oh, well, we're going to go to the cat store and get one, and any cat will do. There's got to be some sort of,
well, let
you
me
know,
ask you a question.
Quirk.
Are you willing to travel for a cat?
I don't think we have to travel.
You don't have to travel. You don't have to travel. I said, are you willing to travel?
Well, it depends on how far. And
well, here's what I'm thinking. In Long Island, there's our buddy Paul Bond, who's been on the show in the past. And he,
yeah,
you know, he has, like, feral cat colonies, and he's taken some of the cats in, and they've become part of his family and everything. And the reason I bring this up is because I currently have two comedian cats, and they have worked out wonderfully. We have our cat Flea, which we got from my wife, from the late Dennis Ross. And, you know, it was specified what type of cat we needed, and this cat fit the bill. And then we got Nacho last year from my friend Sharon Simon. And that was supposed to be a family cat and Skylar's cat. And that has worked out wonderfully well. So I'm thinking there's a chance a comedy cat might work for you.
A comedy cat? Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's not out of the realm of possibility. I just didn't think that because there are so many cats in the area and there are so many cat welfare organizations in the area, that I didn't really have to look far.
No, you don't have to look far. You don't have to look far at all. But I traveled all the way down the Jersey Shore for Flea, and I went all the way to Manhattan for Nacho. And I have traveled far for the cats. So, I mean, you know, like I said, Paul's a friend of the show. Might be something to look into. Paul might have some of the cats in his community that are particularly friendly that might mm-hmm. that he can't take in for himself right now. You know, you might be able to get yourself a couple of cats.
Well, my thought has been that I kind of always wanted to get a bonded pair.
Well, you might be able to get that. And you know what's funny about what you said? Any two cats you get from Paul will be a bonded pair.
Because they're from Paul Bond.
Exactly.
That's not exactly what I meant. But, you know what? It's got to kind of be, we'd have to meet them.
Of course.
And, you know.
Of course. Of course you have
play
to.
Play with them enough.
Yes, of course. You have to see if the cats choose you. I get it.
Yes. Because if you just take in cats and the cats are not interested in you, that's kind of miserable.
Well, you know, I treat that with like a relationship where there's really no emotional connection. You know, much like a cat, sometimes you're just there for the sex.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about sex with the cats.
You don't have to talk about it, but we know, dear.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Right. That's what you would say. You know, that's what somebody who was having sex with cats would say.
Yeah, I know. That's probably true. Yeah, there's no delicate way to get out of that conversation, is there?
No. So it's just been confirmed. You and Mr. Helix are cat fuckers.
Oh, my God. No, hardly.
Well, at least cat four players.
Oh, no.
Stop trying to be the shrinking vat. Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. No, I never dined on pussy. Relax. We know. We get it.
No, actually, this is really weird that you're saying this. I was.
By the way, I should hope it is really weird that I'm saying you and your husband fuck cats. I really hope that should come across as really weird.
That. Yes.
As opposed to, funny you brought this up, just this past weekend, we.
No, we had none to do any nefarious things to, as if we ever would, but no. This is a catless home at the moment.
Understood.
I was recently speaking to a friend of mine, and this conversation is reminding me of a story that she told me years ago that I was like, this is so disturbing. My friend, we'll call her Donna for just amount of mistakes, but to have her call her something. Donna was talking about this guy that, this was like when we were in our early 20s or something. There was this guy that she kind of liked and was hanging out with a little bit and everything. And she went over to visit him at his house. And he had a pet cat, and he just seemed to be a little too into his cat. And, a little too into his cat. And,
smell my fingers. They smell like tiger.
The thing that blew my mind and made me go, God, no, no, was that the cat had not been spayed, and she was still going through, heat, mm-hmm. Going through the cycle. And apparently, when cats go into heat, they meow a lot and they get all crazy and act a little wild. And he said to her that when she was in heat and she was being obnoxious, he would take the eraser end of a pencil and put it inside her to satisfy her so that she'd stop yowling for it. And I'm like, literally, you cat fucker. You pencil thick cat fucker.
I had no idea we'd be doing sexy talk in segment one.
It reminded me.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching or you're hearing, this just shows what a waste of talent Pip Helix is. I mean, the Academy Award performance this young lady is putting on to pretend that she has been offended. How this woman is not performing opposite Deborah Winger I don't know. I mean, this young lady, Miss Helix, is very talented. She had the hands waving like she was really bothered by this. Such a talent.
I am really, really glad that I was not present for this conversation or this activity.
Did you ask how many pencil erasers the cat could take?
Just hearing it secondhand was so fucking disturbing.
Here, Pip, do you think it goes like this? Who's a bad kitty? You're a bad kitty. You want Mr. Pink Eraser? Yeah, you do. You're a good girl. I'll scratch your hindquarters. Yeah, get that tail up. Get that tail. Whose tail is that? It's my tail, isn't it?
Stop. Now, I like it when fake Davin does the sexy talk with the scammers. I do not like hearing real Davin doing pretend sexy talk with a cat. No, no, I will not have it. No.
You know what, Pip? You get what you get, okay? How you like them apples, dear?
No, I do not like it, Sam. I am. No.
I do not like it, man with enlarged yam.
Enlarged yam?
Fuss if you must, but I will not have you stick it in the puss.
Oh, God. It was just like, what the hell would make you think of defiling your poor little animal like this?
Sometimes you listen, you got to control the situation.
Oh, no. No, no, no. You know what? He has to keep his enlarged yam in his pants.
The most disturbing part about this whole story?
What?
Is that he thought this would go over well in polite conversation.
Did he think this was sexy talk that would, like, really lure her in?
You should see what I do for this tabby. Imagine what I could do for you.
You should see the size pencil I've got for you, baby.
Would you like a treat? I'd like some fancy feast. I want to eat all up. Num, 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 num. Give me those tender vittles. Num. Meow. Meow.
Num, 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 num. Yeah, but that's the sound that she's supposed to make.
Who says she doesn't? You know, it's weird. On those cold, lonely nights, sometimes my cock smells like Starkist.
No. Stop fucking the cat bowl. It's gross. It's unhygienic.
You know what? How dare you? My cats, for the most part, knocking with, live very long, healthy lives. Maybe this is the type of stimulant and vitamins that keeps them living long and healthy lives.
I would string you up if I ever thought you were doing such things to your cat.
First of all, you're not coordinated. You're not coordinated enough nor strong enough. So please.
I would never do such things. It's like, you know what? Go, if it bothers you, go get the cat spayed. As a matter of fact, that's just a general good suggestion. But do not abuse your cat with, like, office implements.
You know what?
You know, office supplies.
You know what? If it's good enough for a high school girlfriend, it's good enough for a cat.
I don't think it was good enough for her. I don't remember what happened.
Do you know how expensive school supplies are?
I know what Staples costs. I know.
Exactly.
I know. So that was just such a demented story.
So when you and Mr. Helix start looking for your cat, will you be asking the people at the shelter or the home? Will you be going, have these cats been fucked?
No. No.
Do they like to be fucked?
Can you imagine being blacklisted on every adoption agency in 3 states?
Except the one with the open mind.
No, there's no such thing as that open of a mind.
You know what? No. Who are you to judge?
I am Judgy McJudgerson.
You know what?
Thank you very much.
If those cats didn't want to be fucked by humans, they never should have gotten a Noah's Ark. They knew what they were doing.
I don't think that they knew that was part of the voyage ticket.
Sure it was. It's either drown or fuck. Them's the rules.
Oh, God. That, you know, that's why Gilligan's Island started off so badly.
What do you mean?
Those are the rules.
Those. So, yeah, so why not just go to, I mean, I like the idea of reaching out to Paul because, you know, I know he really, you know, tries to help these cats. But if not, why not just go to a shelter? That's it. You could say, they have so many cats. They have cat rooms, a lot of these shelters. You just go in there, you see who comes up to you, and away you go.
Yeah, well, you know what? I have been, because I've been missing cats, I have been sort of like window shopping on Pet Finder.
Jesus Christ. Oh, this cat has low mileage.
Low mileage.
This cat seems to be leaking some type of fluid. I don't know if we want to take on that type of responsibility. The problem with cats is they don't come with warranties.
Well, let me tell you this, and maybe this is a good thing for that guy I was talking about before. I just before showtime was looking at Facebook, and one of the cat groups that I belong to, yes, I belong to more than one, just posted an adorable kitten, and my hand to God, they posted that they need somebody to take this kitten because it was born without an anus.
That sounds like the perfect cat. That sounds like the perfect cat. You save on cat litter.
No.
And you know what? If you listen to the show, you have enough anus for you and a cat with no anus. So this could be a match made in heaven.
You know, it would be great to have a cat that you didn't have to change the box for. But no, they have to make an opening for this poor kitty. That's part of the problem.
Well, that's why you need to call the guy with the pencil.
This would be the perfect, like, pervert proofing that he needs.
So how is the cat relieving itself?
Well, apparently there is an opening that's going through this poor kitty's vagina, so it can poop out of there.
Oh my God!
I know.
So do they expect the new if they find a new owner for the cat? Do they expect for them to pay for the anal surgery?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That's a tough sell. That's a tough sell right there.
It really is. I was like, oh, this poor little kitty. Like, but who's ever heard of a kitty without an ass?
Nobody on this show.
Heard of this.
Nobody on this show.
No, there's, I mean, you know, parts. And I'm not against, you know, taking in cats' missing parts. But missing an anus, yeah, I think I have to draw the line.
That's good. Usually what happens in these cases is the shelter or whatever will pay for the surgery.
Yeah, I don't know, because that's got to be pretty pricey stuff, wouldn't you think?
You know, I don't know how much it costs to install an anus. Well, Joe's here. Joe, you know, you're familiar with plumbing. How much does it cost to install an anus, Joe?
Well, let me see. My wedding, when I laid out the money for my wedding.
Is that the last time you installed an anus?
That's the last time I had an anus installed. Cost ran me about $20,000, and then cost me about $130 to get it patched back up.
Well, there you go, Pip. There's your estimate.
How many years did it get rammed in between those two events?
Plenty.
See? You get a lot of mileage out of that new anus.
You know, at least they're up front about it. It's like, you know, you buy a car. Yeah, well, there's a dent on the fender. Oh, thank you. And plus, this cat doesn't have an asshole. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
Let me ask you a question, though. A serious question here about a non-serious subject. If the cat is defecating out of this other hole,
yeah,
why do we need to add an ass again?
Because that's really unsanitary, and it's going to lead to infection.
Okay. I got to tell you, this is a lot of investment in a dime a dozen cat.
Yeah.
Usually
you get a cat, you go out, you get a little cat tree or some cat toys. No, I got to go out and get an asshole and have it installed.
I don't know if PetSmart has them. I'll go in and see if they have assholes in stock. Yeah, the manager, he's right here.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if I adopted that cat, it would have an asshole.
You're not going to adopt an assholeless cat.
No.
You want a cat with a good asshole, a good chitin' asshole. Knows how to go in that.
Joe, stop reading your dating profile.
Funny. Yeah, boy.
Are you looking for a good asshole? I'm your man.
Damn. Oh boy.
Well, when I field phone calls.
Oh man, You know, I saw profiles for poor kitties missing an eye, or there's one cat with a heart condition, and I'm like, oh boy, I don't know how much medication costs and stuff for this poor kitty. I don't know if I'm up for this.
You know what I think would be ideal for you? I think if you found a bonded pair of cats that were like 3 or 4 in that age range, I think that would be ideal for you and Mr. Helix.
Yeah, I don't know if kittens would be the right call for us, but like, young cats.
That's what I said. Like Nacho's age.
Yeah.
How old's Nacho?
He's either 3 or 4 now. When we got him, they thought he was 2 or 3, but he's grown a lot since we've gotten him.
Yeah.
So he was probably 2. Here's the problem with Nacho. Nacho was a dumpster cat, but he was a finicky dumpster cat. Are you shitting me?
My cat Timmy used to do that when I would feed Timmy. She would turn around and then she'd like swipe her legs like she's burying something in a sandbox.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bitch, that's fancy feast. It's almost $3 a can. Yeah.
No, but that's what they do when they're satisfied, Joe.
Yeah.
That's true. It's what they do.
That's a natural thing that they do.
So, Joe, are you still in the market for a cat or do you have other company? I guess Joe will be going down the shore to Hazlitt to visit Hazlitt, the cat.
Yeah, at least Hazlitt does drive me nuts. I gotta remember to buy food. Hey, I got a question for you. Have you seen Aerosmith yet?
No.
All right.
Well, I mean, yes, but not on this last tour.
Oh, you're not going for a while because they had to cancel about a month worth of shows.
What the fuck? Really?
You didn't hear? What happened with Mike Messina saw them at UBS Arena on Friday.
Right.
And Mike filmed some of the show. He goes, they were amazing. Steve Perry was on fire.
Steve Perry's in Journey, stupid. Was in Journey.
Sorry. Well, he's probably in Journey. You know, Joe Perry, Steve Tyler. was phenomenal. I'm listening, he was right. But what happened is he put such a great show on. He fucked up his vocal cords.
Oh, for Christ's sakes!
Doctor tells him he can't sing for a month.
Well,
a funny feeling. I think your gig's canceled.
No, our gig's in December.
Oh, in December, all right, he might make it back out. Yeah, but no, we heard the audio last night. Tyler was right on. I mean, really fucking good.
Yeah, of course he is stupid. He's the best.
Yeah. But he fucked his vocal.
He's the best for one show, and then end of tour. Peace out.
Hey, you know they're not spring chickens anymore.
Apparently they're not even dead ducks.
Yeah, they're old cocks.
So no, I did not know that. But thank you for making a shitty stretch of my life shittier, Joe. Doing what you do.
No, I didn't know. Because I didn't know, because they were in town, you know, I didn't know that your Prudential Center is that far away, so I figured they'd be hitting that place, but I didn't know.
No, hopefully we'll be okay, but that's interesting. That is interesting. What's the matter? They can't just put in another singer like they did with their drummer? Can't do that?
Yeah, no, so Joey Kramer's out on the outs. I thought he was playing his tour.
Nope.
Wow.
No. Pip and I saw the last real Aerosmith, because when we went to Vegas, we saw the original five, because even in Vegas, Joey Kramer was out, but we got there in time.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Pip Helix, aren't you thrilled that I convinced you to come along on that Odyssey?
Yes, I am, because that was a really good show. And I'm glad that I got to see it before they kicked Joey out. So yes, I'm really happy. Thank you.
We had a good time, and I got to do cardio running to catch our plane.
why did they kick him out? He was like on drugs or something.
No. What happened is his wife died. His wife is 52. Was 52. May she rest in peace. And she passed away, and supposedly he's taking care of the family. But then we had the antics from a couple years ago that we talked about on the show when they were getting the award, and they made Joey re-audition for the band because they said he wasn't playing up to snuff. So, you know what? Well, who the hell really knows? Somebody will write a book soon.
Yep.
Oh, well. Re-audition for the band. That's just so crappy.
But I did not know that. I'm glad you told me, and I guess they'll reschedule everything. I guess that's what they're gonna have to do.
Yeah, move it back.
Yeah.
I'd be pissed off. All right, Joe, you got anything, or should I move on?
I just got some sad news last week. One of my nephews, my nephew Scott, passed away suddenly last week. What a great guy he was. But he had COPD, and
what did he have?
COPD with a breathing issue, is that that's what it's called?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but it's COPD. And he had a breathing issue, but what happened was he wound up getting hip surgery, and he came back and he went to the doctor to have it checked out, and then he gets back to the house, and my brother was there, and he went into full cardiac arrest and passed away. Yeah, and he was about, it was late 60s. I think it was probably about almost 70. You know, and he was a great guy. You know, remind me a lot of Sam Elliott. You know, and he was always good. I used to love seeing him. And you know, it's just, you know, with everything going on, the hard reality is he's not going to be there anymore. And it really sucks. You know, so rest in peace.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, really sorry, Jim.
Thanks.
All right.
A lot of death lately. You know,
including Aerosmith's tour, apparently. All right, so this is a little bit of good news, some funny stuff, and then I got a you stink, a fresh off the presses you stink. It's going to be a long one, a lot of emotion behind it.
Right. Am I going to have to light a candle?
What, like yahrzeit for the Jews do when they commemorate somebody who's died?
No, because of the stink.
Oh, see, yeah, that's why, again, once again, your expertise in asses comes into play, dear.
Yes. If it stinks that bad, I'm lighting a candle before this segment.
Exactly. Or at least putting on a background of coffee beans so we don't think it stinks.
Right.
All right. So let's talk briefly about where I was this past week. I was opening a brand new comedy club in Niles, Michigan, the Underground Laugh Lounge. I was the first headliner. I've had this gig for about a year. And you talk about pressure. That's like... wow, here's a week I can't suck. Not that I ever want to suck, but you're just like, wow, you're kind of setting the bar. And the interesting thing was, I was the general manager's choice, Sean, who is my tour mate on tours, as Joe is my tour mate on other tours, and who also co-wrote Fake Davin. Joe, you think you're going to get around to reading that sometime? You got more antics planned that'll get in the way of that.
I'm going to try. This week is going to be killer, but I'll try. I got it as a day program. I'll try to read during one.
So I was the general manager's choice, but not the owner's choice.
No.
I mean, I know the owner. I met her years ago when I met the general manager. I met her, but she was an audience member. But she's really close with the guy who's there this week. Like they're really good friends. But Sean, the general manager's like, he calls me Captain Chaos because.
Why is that?
Well, you've toured with me, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because if there's, for a couple of reasons, if there's all stuff going around, like going on, I don't really let it faze me. You know, I just tell, you know, wind me up, point me to the stage, away we go. And my show.
What do you mean, Davin? What do you mean by all stuff? All stuff going on. Disruption.
So, for instance, when I took you up to Utica several right. months ago, there was a show we did. I don't know if you remember it, but where their food order system went down. You remember that?
I don't remember. Was that the Friday or the Saturday?
That was the Saturday, I believe.
I might have been, you want to know something? It might have been when you were up.
It was when I was up. All right. So they got to get, when I'm up, they got to drop the checks, check spots right. and everything. So you need everything to be working. This is chaos. So what do I do? Because I'll just keep on going until they can get the shit figured out. You need somebody who's not going to leave the staff high and dry, for instance. You're opening up a brand new club. Not everything is going to be finished. Not everything right. is going to be where it will be in 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever, from now. So you need somebody who's like, whatever. I've done worse. You need somebody who's done that. And you all...
We battled salad.
Yes.
We fucking battled salad 2 months ago.
Yes, we did. And also, my shows can be chaotic in a fun way because people like to yell shit at me. And, you know, that first show... Those first week, you need somebody who can handle stuff because you don't know what type of audience you're going to get. So,
an established place, so you don't know what kind of yahoos might be coming in.
So Sean wanted me, and you know, there's a lot of pressure. That's like, wow, you're Sean's guy. You better not suck. So I got picked up from the airport on Thursday. It's just been nonstop, including today. I don't sleep anymore. The only time I do sleep is when I have a flight to catch, and then the alarm goes off.
Let me ask you a question. Did you get any sleep? You were there last night, right?
I flew out early this morning. I've been up since. I've been up since before 5 a.m.
Yeah, because I'm looking at your plugs and I'm like, I know we're dark next week. Are we doing a fucking show tomorrow night? Where is this guy?
Oh, why? Because I didn't get all the social media done.
No, because I saw your schedule. I'm like, he's in the Midwest tonight. This is Monday. He's in the Midwest tonight. We got the show tomorrow. Is he doing a show tomorrow?
Yes. Yes, we did. And we're doing it right now, Joe, as luck would have it.
Like I said, I was wondering. No, Mazel Tov. If you pulled it off, right on. Good for you.
Captain Chaos, my friend. Oh, cool. A new scammer checking in. Anyway, so I get picked up from the airport. And we go to the club real quick, probably about 3 hours before the show. The owners are there, family members are there. Things are getting sawed, nails, sweat's dripping down. like we are building the plane as we are flying it. They're working their asses off.
I remember we were with Scott Bruce one time when he was opening one of his rooms. It was the same thing. And he saw, building the bar. 3 hours before showtime, and then Rock Up played this place called T-Rocks. It's one of Ant and Joe's buddies. He bought the play. And I mean, the band's going on in 3 hours. Just put the carpet down, you know. Yeah, it gets close, man, on first show night.
So, yeah. And, you know, at this point, I've been up since like 2 a.m. So I check in, grab some lunch, take me back to the hotel. I'm not going to be staying at the club
on this particular night. Most of the times you do stay at the club. You will be staying in the club. I'm staying at the hotel this night because my room wasn't ready. And the features room still isn't ready. And a new feature's coming in on Thursday. They didn't need a feature for me because Sean was featuring for me. But they got somebody coming from out of town. So I got picked up at like a couple hours later after I get dropped off. No time for a nap or anything. We got to go back. They're doing a ribbon cutting that day.
Oh, cool.
They got the mayor. They got a state, you know, senator there. They got press. I'm doing an interview for the local NBC News affiliate.
Yeah. Wow.
It was what? Why are you laughing? What?
Don't suck.
Yeah, don't suck. Right. No, well, it was funny. So one of the questions she asked me, the woman's name was Monica, the reporter. Oh, there's going to be a lot of politicians here. What do you think about performing to a lot of politicians? I go, and I just start laughing like, oh, I love politicians. Often I think, how can I get as close to politicians as possible? What a dream come true. That didn't make it.
Oh, it's funny.
Actually, none of what I did made it. They only took a little bit of the owners, but none of what I did made it. So, all right, what are you going to do? So this is a soft open for friends and family that have helped build the club, and there's a lot of friends and family that have helped. So we do that. So there's pressure here. There's pressure. You know, fortunately, it all goes well. I will say this. We did our two shows on Friday sold out. Our two shows on Saturday sold out, packed to the gills. Sunday we did like a fundraiser that wasn't sold out. This is a beautiful club, and Joe will be there with me.
There in February.
Yeah, Super Bowl weekend. Joe will be my feature for that week. That week, Sean will be laying back, and So I actually got booked twice before I even set foot in the place. So. So here's first of all, the staff is amazing. Joe, you're going to be able to relate to this. As comics know, the check spot, that's where they drop the checks when the headliner's up there, can be brutal. Can be like, all right, everybody's looking at their bills. You know, this is when some comics will do Q&A or whatever just to try to muddle through it. I didn't even notice the checks dropping. That's how good it was.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's how impressive it was. So the club seats about 100 people. It's got like a real brick wall. It's got stone. Got a lot of details. They have a portrait of my first headshot up there. They have like portraits of other comedians. It's
wow.
Now it's really cool. Now, so on the men's room, they have a life-size Richard Pryor on the door. On the ladies' room, they have a life-size Lucille Ball. So my friend who picked me up, Blair, she's like, you know, men and women. I go, or, this is what I'm thinking, black or white. As she starts laughing, she goes, please don't say that during a show. Sheila, the owner, will cry. Don't say that. I'm like, all right, I won't say that.
I got to tell you, that picture of you hanging on the wall, you look like Anton LaVey from the Church of Satan on there.
Wow. It's a dark. The original headshot is actually a great headshot. I look young and pretty, but it is
just that one picture.
I know. It's dark. It's dark, and I look menacing. I look like a creep hanging out. I do. I get it. And then when I took the picture, they didn't have like the spotlight all the way on. Listen, they didn't consult me. That's not the picture I would have given them to use. But you know what? Listen, there's only four or five portraits of comics on the wall.
Yeah.
And to be one of the, I mean, whatever you think of that particular picture, it's really quite an honor.
It is.
I'm on Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club in the back. Really have a mural of all the performers. I'm on there as well, which is kind of, you know, it's nice.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
You're not
yeah.
hanging in the corner like a creep, like Davin's portrait?
No, he's in a cast of thousands. I am one of four or five. A creepy one of four or five, but one of four or five nonetheless.
It looks like offerings should be left by that picture.
I'm not saying no. What are we offering? Food? Virgins? I'm listening. I'm taking offers.
How do you know they weren't?
A goat skull or something like that.
What do you want me to tell you? I didn't
create the thing. I wasn't consulted, but I'm happy. I'm thrilled that it's there. All right. So the wait staff, phenomenal, phenomenal. And, you know, this is the first week they're working together. I love the HR guy who really would not be an HR guy anyplace else. He would be the guy that you report to HR.
he's a comedy club, you know.
He's a creep, but I love him. Then there's the security guy, Will, big dude. I just loved everybody there. So the downstairs is the comedy club, which is really, like I said, a top-notch club, Joe. You're going to love it. It's intimate. It's only 100 seats. They pack them in there nice. They're right on top of you. Sound is good. Lights are good. Then that's the bottom floor. On the main floor is what they call the study. And that is a bar that has a 60 people maximum, and that's including staff. And that is like a 1920s speakeasy with leather couches and everything. Really old stuff in there. Really, really cool.
He set it up like the Paramount in the basement, the founder's room of the Paramount. He set that up like a speakeasy. Yeah. Nice.
Okay. And then you got the head bartender mixologist Jacob is up there, and he's really cool, and he's on top of his game. You have a Frenchman Alex up there who's got that, you know, he's a hustler, but not in a bad way, but a guy who hustles, and he's got that French accent. And then on top of that, you know, you have where the comics stay, you know. Which is, people ask me, well, what's it like, other comics? And what I go, I really can't tell you, because I was, you know, when I was there, they were putting in the mattress. You know, they're like they were asking me for suggestions of what's the stuff. Well, I'm like, well, garbage pails, that would be nice. an ironing board with an iron, you know, and they genuinely wanted to know what to do. Like, here's the type of tip I would give them. So, because the owner, Sheila, she really does a lot with details, but I don't think she understands what a bunch of animals she's letting into the house.
I'm not laughing.
No. So.
Because condo equals camping.
Yeah.
That's always what I say.
So here's some of the tips. So like.
A little pretty soap.
So I'm the only one staying there because my future was Sean who lives there. But she's got this lovely fuzzy bath mat, which is wonderful for your home. Wonderful for your home. I said to her, I go, Sheila, here's the problem with this. This thing is going to hold water and it's going to get really nasty really quick. Do yourself a favor. Go to Walmart, get yourself some cheap bath mats. At the end of the week, you just throw them in the washer dryer. You're ready to go.
Because what's going to happen is there's going to be a big mold spore.
Right.
The mold spore will hit it off with the middle, and then the mold spore wants a fucking guest spot. So you got to get rid of that. But if the mold spore could do 7, fuck it, you know. Yeah.
we've seen worse.
Yeah.
So there's no dressers in the rooms. I said you got to get some dressers. I said you could go to the thrift store. They don't have to be fancy. You got to get some dressers. So she's like, yeah, I was thinking about that, but I'm worried about bed bugs. And I go, all right. So I was thinking about that. That's a valid thing to worry about. First of all, they're sleeping in the bed, so you're going to have that issue anyway. But like worried with the clothes. So I said to her, here's what you do. Here's what you do, Sheila. Each week, you line the you line the drawers with brand new parchment paper. At the end of the week, you throw it out. You throw down Lysol, and you put on new parchment paper. Problem solved. Cheap and easy way to keep it clean.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because it's like a motel room, but still, you've got people coming in and out every week. You got to keep on top. It's not like your house where, all right, well, I did this 3 weeks ago. You know,
they'll keep on top of it, but I don't. But it's like. Even if comics, it's just wear and tear, different people, you know, whoever they are, if it's not their personal thing sometimes, they just don't care for it.
Right.
So these are the type of tips I was giving her, which she really appreciated. Her husband, Carl, saw the first mattress that they had brought in. It was like really thin. It was brand new. It was really thin, and they didn't have a board for it. I'm like, I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. But Carl came up there for something else, and he's like, this isn't going to work. And he went out and he got a new mattress. And it was comfortable. They asked me how the mattress was. I go, it was really comfortable. It's great. I go, here's the thing. You're just going to have to see if it holds up for a couple years. If it holds up for a couple years, it's great. It's comfortable. You know, I guess it wasn't all that expensive, like a high-end thing. If, you know, if you get 6 months out of it, you might have to do something else. But they're really trying.
Because what happens is one of the yaks drags somebody from the bachelorette party that was there back to the room, and they're jumping all over the thing the whole damn weekend. Yeah, something's got to be sturdy on there.
Maybe they should have hired you to explain things in just that certain Joe way.
Terrible.
So,
just don't kill any hookers in here, okay?
I was talking to Sean. I mean, they're only open 48 weeks in the year. There's a few of us that are going to be there a couple times a year, like I will. You know, I said this, Sean. He's like, I'm getting hit up from it by everybody. I go, you will. I go, here's the thing, Sean. There is no reason for you to put an asshole in there. You don't have to. If you think it's a bad dude or bad woman, you don't have to do it. There's enough good people to do it. So that's the nice thing. There's no reason to put in somebody that you know is a jackass.
Yeah. And they are out there that they have their host of issues that you got to deal with and they control. But if you have enough quality acts coming in, they have to deal with that shit.
Yeah. So it's all very cool. You know, the only question is the community going to support it? I hope it does. Now, I will say this. We have some limited Facebook and Google or Yelp reviews. 5 stars. Every review,
wow.
5 stars.
Nice.
So kudos to the staff. Kudos to the comics I shared the stage with, and kudos to me. I even said to Sean, I go, listen, we left it in a good place. I did my part. Whatever happens, that's on you guys. 5 fucking stars. You know, people saying everybody's hysterical. So that goes to Brad, who is the host, and Sean, who is the feature, and me, who is the headliner. We did our job. The staff working there did their job. You know, for nobody to really be bitching about shit, because, you know, people want to bitch about stuff. Now, there's fires going on all over the place. And I'm friends with the managers and everything, including Sean. And I've never seen Sean look so miserable. He's always in a good mood and everything. And I said to Sean, like, I would come off stage and I thought he was pissed at me. I'm like, did I do something wrong? But it wasn't. There was so much stuff going on. I go, Sean, I can't wait to get you out of here on the road so you can be Sean again. Because
Hey, everything's on you.
But here's the thing. Here's what I said to the managers. I go, all this shit's going on that you know about. You know, Rome is burning, but the people in the showroom have no idea. And they're the ones who are paying the bills. These are the ones who are keep on coming back. So kudos to you guys. With everything that was going on, it never bled into the showroom where it affected people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's the best thing. Like, no matter what you're doing, running the club or handling people's orders. I mean, if I have an order during the day program that has been a monster problem with the factory, and we're fighting for this. The customer doesn't even know what's going on. All he knows is the price that they wanted, they got. And that's doing the job.
So one of the things I suggested that they must get post-haste, that they did not have anywhere in the building, including the comedy quarters, was plungers. I said, you're going to want plungers. Because when you realize you need a plunger and you don't have a plunger, you're going to really wish you had a plunger.
Yeah.
It's already too late.
And I said this to Sheila, and she looked mortified. I'm like, no, it's fine. I didn't do anything. Your pipes are fine. I'm just saying, at some point, somewhere, you're going to need plungers.
Absolutely.
Somebody's coming back from the Golden Corral at some point.
Yes. Yes.
Or Taco Bell in the middle of the night.
So Sean and I go to a Walmart where I had to I went when we came into town. Blair dropped me off at Walmart for 2 things. One, I had to pick up a tripod because Stupid left his many at home. Fortunately, Brad hooked me up, and I never had to use that tripod. So thank you, Brad. And the other thing is I had to film gift cards. You know, for a yet to be determined story. I'm sure. I'm the only one who goes into a store to can you show me your gift cards? You want some? No, I just need to film them. I shan't be purchasing them.
Oh, that's hysterical. Security.
Yeah. Well, as my story would have it. But anyway, so that's why we went to Walmart. So by Sunday, we had to go back to Walmart because I wanted to return the tripod, which I didn't use, because Brad said I could continue using his because he's a gentleman. And we also went to get plungers. I said, Sean, while we're here, we might as well get plungers. So we got some plungers. So we're in the plunger aisle, Sean and I, the plumbing aisle, or the aisle that Joe calls home. And I take and they have the really cheap plungers where it's like where you assemble it yourself, like with the like with the suction and then the sticks.
Yeah.
So I'm there, and of course I took two of the black suctions and I put them on my breasticles, and I had fun. And I,
of course you did.
Of course I did. And, you know, we had fun with that. And then they had the plungers where they have the base on the bottom so it doesn't go on the floor. Right. You know what I'm saying.
Right.
And Sean made the executive decision that we should get those, and he was absolutely right. But they only had one of those. So we got one of those and the cheap ones in the meantime. So we're walking out of the aisle, and now Sean takes the plungers with the sticks and is walking out of the aisle like this. Like he's trying to one-up me. Now, at the same time, there was a younger couple with three young children. And I just go, Sean, that is inappropriate. There's a family with young kids there. To which point, they all look at Sean.
That's hysterical. Oh, and he was left with plungers on his face.
Yes.
Oh, God. How embarrassing.
Of course. That's why I did it. We didn't plug the club. That was the only time. So then we go to customer service. I go, let's go to customer service. Maybe they can check if there's more plungers in the back for the type that Sean wants to get. So there's an older woman there on customer service. So, we ask her, hey, can you check if see if there's more in the back? She's like, I can't do that. And then she's like, she asked another guy who's working back there, okay, can you check if we have more in the back? So he pulls it up on, he pulls up his phone, I guess, because you could see if they have it in stock on the phone. And I go to the woman, I go, yeah, you know, once Walmart starts turning a profit, I'm sure they'll get the software for you to be able to check. Nothing. I get nothing out of this.
Because they're stupid in there. That's why you always see my reports to morons at Walmart. They're stupid.
I feel like you just named a new segment.
work on a stinger
because you do seem to be in there quite a bit. I like that. Morons of Walmart. I like that, Joe.
You know what? People treat me. How, you know, they're low paid. They're stupid. They're stupid.
Yeah, but here's the difference. Here's between me. The difference between me and your average asshole. Your average asshole would have left it there. All right. I tried to be a little pithy. Nothing. I'm an above average asshole. I have enough asshole for me and cats without assholes. That's how much of an asshole I am. So I go, because we have the plungers. I go, you know, these are housewarming presents. Can we get gift receipts for the plungers?
That's great. That's great.
And wouldn't you know, she not knowing what's going on, gave us gift receipts for the plungers.
That's hysterical. That is hysterical.
Listen, people walk into that place with raccoons in their pants. She didn't think anything of gift receipts for her plungers.
No, she was oblivious. All right.
Oh, goodness.
But this club, the Underground Laugh Lounge in Niles, Michigan, it is it's cool, man. Whether you want to go there for the comedy or the study, it's cool. It's cool, and I'm glad that Joe's going to be doing a tour with me there in February, so because that's when you want to go to Michigan, so it's gonna be a good
time. When I requested the time to do the show at the Day Pro, that's actually what I wrote. Just so Don doesn't go, are you fucking kidding me?
So all right,
what are you doing?
So let me cue up my you stink. Bear with me because I'm going.
Oh boy.
Well, why are you saying oh boy?
No, I'm just thinking, you know, what could the you stink possibly be?
Well, here it is.
You stink!
Thanks for coming out laughing. We got
that was the you stink combined with J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Oh.
This you stink is for the universe. I am you stinking the universe. I've had it. Let me tell you, I have had it. Joe's laughing because Joe's a sports fan. He knows where I'm going with this.
And you heard my prediction. When you finish your story, we'll discuss my prediction.
I predicted the same thing.
Yeah.
So, here.
Do it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So, I've been a Jets fan since 1982, which would make me about 8 years old. I remember being at a roller rink for a birthday party. And there was this little black and white TV by where you walked in. And the Jets were playing in the AFC Championship game against the Miami Dolphins. In a game that would be known as the Mud Bowl. So it poured in Miami the night before the game. So Don Shula, their Hall of Fame coach, told the grounds crew, don't cover the field. So by the time Sunday rolled around, it was a muddy mess. And the Jets, who had a good offense, got nothing going and threw a bunch of picks and lost. Fast forward to 1984, the year the New York Jets move to the Meadowlands in New Jersey from Shea Stadium, and the year my dad becomes a season ticket holder for the New York Jets, and the year where I really get indoctrinated into this. So we go to a game. It's a cold game. It's a pouring rain game. It is cold. It is pouring rain. The Jets are playing the then Baltimore Colts. JoJo Townsend streaks down the sideline on a kickoff return. Nothing in front of him. He could get a touchdown. He slips on the AstroTurf and falls out of bounds. The Jets lose to the Baltimore Colts 9-5. Not a single touchdown was scored on that day. So there, right then and there, I should have said, you know what, maybe the Giants. I did not.
Yeah. Oh,
so, God. So let's go to 1986. The Jets started the year the Giants won the Super Bowl. Dominant team. The Jets were excellent that year. The Jets got off to a 10-1 start. And then an analyst on TV, Al McGuire, I believe he said, I will eat my hat if the Jets win another game. And they did not. They lost 5 in a row and went to 10-6. The Jets won the wild card game against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Jets the following week are in Cleveland playing the Cleveland Browns. The Jets are winning with about 4 minutes to go, and my favorite player at the time, Mark Gastineau, who is a great defensive lineman, for no reason, decides to have a late hit and an unsportsmanlike conduct on the Browns quarterback, Bernie Kosar, to keep the drive alive. And eventually the Jets would lose in overtime to the Cleveland Browns. This is what being a Jets fan is about. Let's skip forward a little bit. 1998. The Jets lose in the championship game against the Denver Broncos. A game they were leading by 10 points at the half. They eventually would lose. So we come back to 1999. My team, your New York Jets, are favored to go to the Super Bowl. Our quarterback, 35-year-old veteran from Long Island, Vinny Testaverde. Tears his Achilles in the first half of the opening game, and there goes the New York Jets season.
When we get done with the segment, that's what I'm basing my findings on. That game, I listened to that game.
Yes. So then we fast forward. Bill Belichick, who would go on to become the greatest football coach of all time, is about to be named the head coach of the New York Jets because that is the plan that he and Bill Parcells, who is another great football coach, have put into plan. Bill Belichick will be the coach of the Jets. He resigns at the press conference by passing a little note. Bill Belichick will now go on to coach the New England Patriots and win multiple Super Bowls and torment the New York Jets. I'm skipping lots of history here. Go to 2008. We get Brett Favre. I didn't want Brett Favre. I liked who we had, Chad Pennington. We get Brett Favre. The Jets are 8-3 and cruising on the rise. Brett Favre injures his arm and tells no one. And the Jets miss the playoffs. Fast forward to this year. Aaron Rodgers, who some consider to be the most talented quarterback on ability, not the best, not the most winning, but an ability to ever play the game, wants to be a New York Jet. He wants to. Why? He wants to be a New York Jet. He says, I see that Lombardi trophy in the showcase, and it's lonely. I'm here to get it a friend. He is taking all the pressure. All. He embraces being a Jet. He embraces the young players. He's having fun. We see it on Hard Knocks. He is beyond expectations. We are ready to go. The Jets are in a bear of a conference, the AFC, but we are looked at as a Super Bowl contender, not just because of Aaron Rodgers, but because our defense is fucking dominant, and because we have so many weapons on offense, including a returning Breece Hall, who would have won the Rookie of the Year had he not got injured, but instead our wide receiver won Rookie of the Year. We are ready to go. We got Dalvin Cook, who is like Rince gets 1,400 yards from the Vikings. He comes to the Jets. We are ready to go. Now, I do not see this because I have a show on Monday night when the Jets are playing the first Monday night game at MetLife of the season. I have a show. Of course I do. Why? I never work on Mondays, but I'm working this Monday. And I have told Sean I'm working Super Bowl weekend. I will not be doing a show during the Super Bowl if the Jets are in the Super Bowl. Otherwise, I don't give a shit. So, now, while I am on stage, this is 9/11 in New York. I do not know this at the time. They announced the team, and then the last man announced, Aaron Rodgers runs through the tunnel, holding a 9/11 United States of America flag. It is all on me, he says. Let's go. We are ready to roll. I get off the stage. I set up my merch. I get a text. Aaron Rodgers is out with a leg injury. Wait, what? I have not even seen Aaron Rodgers take a snap. The only thing that snapped was his Achilles tendon. He did not even complete one pass as a New York Jet. He was 0-for-1. He was the Jets' starting quarterback for all of 4 offensive plays. By the time I was able to get a feed to watch the game, he was long gone and Zach Wilson was back. Yuck. So fuck you, universe. Stop shitting on the New York Jets. The Jets are the Jets, your New York Jets, have the longest running streak of not making the playoffs, not in football, not in baseball, not in hockey, not in basketball, but all of them. And all of North America, the New York Jets have the longest streak of not making the playoffs. So fuck you, universe. You stink. How dare you?
And as soon as Aaron Rodgers got signed, because of the whole Vinny Testaverde thing, I'm like, I was telling everybody, I go, Aaron Rodgers, I go, second game, third play, out, done. Apparently, Aaron Rodgers heard me and said, hold my beer, we're going to make the third play of the first game.
Pip, may I amend my you stink and direct it at Joe Curry?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I posted on Facebook, and people are going, yeah. Now, my buddy Dennis, who's very critical of me, because I was talking to Dennis about it, because he goes, I heard Curry say it. I'm like, you're damn right. You're listening to everybody. I can't believe it. Are you kidding me, Jed? It was a matter of fucking time as soon as he put his John Hancock on the contract.
That's what I was afraid of. Not necessarily an Achilles, but this guy would get hurt. And listen, the Jets won the game last night in miracle fashion. They did win the game, but it's the shittiest you ever feel about a win.
Yeah.
Terrible. Oh, God. You know, when you put it all together like that in a string, that is really...
Oh, Pip, I...
awful necklace of awful.
Pip, I skipped things. Like the 1994 fake spike. I was at that game against Miami, a battle for first place in the middle of the season. Jets are winning. You'd think Miami's driving deep in Jets territory. You'd think that Miami's going to stop the clock by spiking the football. No. Dan Marino drops back, fakes the spike, throws the pass. Miami wins. I was at that game. I was not at the game, but I saw on TV when the Jets faced the New England Patriots on a Thanksgiving night when our quarterback Mark Sanchez ran into an ass. Literally ran into an ass on his own team, his offensive lineman, and fumbled the football. Known now as the butt fumble.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I am a Met fan who has been treated to a disappointing season. That once again was going to promise to be going to the playoffs. So I go, well, I got my New York Giants. Well, everybody, including myself, are so busy over the hype of Aaron Rodgers and Jet Camp, I really wasn't paying attention to Giant Camp. And apparently the Giants weren't paying attention to Giant Camp because they got shut out by fucking Dallas 40-0. So I'm not pleased myself.
Yeah, but there's a difference between showing up and playing like shit and doing nothing wrong and having your dreams dashed. The Jets did nothing wrong. They did nothing to deserve that.
All right.
It's too much. It's
yeah, no, that is really, really terrible.
Like I said, I feel bad for you, but
do you? Do you? I don't feel you do.
I'm being kind of facetious, but I'm just looking. I knew it as soon as I go. He's going to get hurt in the first or second game. He's going to be out for the season.
Well, hope you're pleased with yourself.
No, because you know what? I am a Giants fan, but I follow the Jets. So it's the Giants on my team, but I do follow the Jets. So I was looking forward to it. You know,
everybody was looking forward to it. It was the biggest story in football. We all got robbed.
Yeah.
And now we have Zach Wilson. He's not very good. He's just not. He was the worst quarterback in the NFL last year. And he seems like a nice enough fella.
God. I got home from rehearsal last night. I had the TV on making dinner. He had the Jets post game. And all the the Super Bowl's over. Oh, that's it. We had high hope. That's done. Oh, no. Might as well put other shit on the mantle because it's not going to be a fucking trophy. Yeah.
But they won. They won. They beat the Bills, the defending AFC East champs. They're still a good team. But it just sucks. We were so looking forward to this.
I got to tell you, last night before I left for rehearsal, I'm talking to my coworker Zach, major Jet fan, just as major as you are. And I go, well, good night. Look, tonight, I go, guarantee he's going to get hurt. Second game, second game, third play. And then I call, he called me, had to write me this morning to get a price. And I go, well, I was a little off. And he just, you could hear the sad. He wrote me back in an email. You could hear the sadness in his writing, how upset and disappointed he was.
I'm sad. I'm sad. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's just sports. I've never seen them in a Super Bowl, let alone win a Super Bowl. I'm an old fuck. I'm getting close to 50. And it's just, we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
You're getting too old for this losing streak.
Yeah. I remember like in 1972, 73. Wearing my Jet helmet, my Jet jersey, playing football in my buddy Owen's backyard. And it's the Jets, Miracle Jets. 16, I was only like 3 years prior. And then the years went on, and
So.
I'm sorry. You know what? I mean, as much as I dislike the Red Sox as a Yankee fan, it really was terrible to see them have such a long losing streak. But then, Davin, they won the World Series. So there's always hope.
Is there?
Let me tell you something. There's going to be a day. There's going to be a day when they will win. And it's going to be having an amazing season. And everything goes right. And your grandson is going to walk into your daughter and go, I wish Grandpa was here.
Hey, Pip, remind me after the show, I have to text Sean and tell him I got to replace my feature for February.
Hey, look, I'm a Mets fan, okay? I'm used to mediocrity.
You've seen a World Series win. You've seen the Mets make the World Series. You've seen them get their asses kicked by my team. But you've had moments of joy.
Yes. Yes.
There is no joy in Jetville.
Yeah.
No.
But there were some times that they'll have the Met highlights, and the game is so bad, they'll just focus on the beer guy pouring a perfect beer. Yeah, the only camping that went well that night, you know.
have you ever used that in your act?
No.
That's funny. So it would probably stand out, so don't use it. But otherwise.
Yeah. But there was one, I did one during COVID, and I go, the Mets are so bad that even the cardboard cutouts left.
Yeah. Well, this year you're right. They are. Okay.
Oh, God.
Let's take.
Oh, sorry, Devin.
Thank you. It was, I was up late watching them. They did win, and it was an exciting win. But the quarterback they have now, he's not good at this.
He said they could go. You know, when I was listening to the post game show, you know, and they were even saying that. But they said, you know, they could still go shopping. There is time to go shopping, so maybe they'll, you know,
they're not going shopping. He's the guy. Yeah. He knows that he's been there. He knows the system. He's the guy. They could if they're going shopping, it's for a shotgun.
Yeah.
Oh God.
All right. When we come back. What would you say if your local politician, maybe not your local politician, had a thing for following the porn stars on the social media? Would we bother you? Would it bother you? It's a bad judgment, or you know what? Who gives a shit? Compared to what politicians do, that's nothing. We'll talk about that. We'll do a lot more when we come back. On the break, you got Cindy Alter with Driving, and you can learn more about Cindy at creativeanddreams.com. And we have DJ Nicholas with We Made It, and you can learn more about him at KHB-music.com.